Hey, good morning, everyone. Good to see you up and at it already. Welcome to Wealth Coffee Chats, folks. Good to see a few of the early birds up there. Shabad, already in the house. Morning to you. Do the quick intros while we're rolling along. Morning, Facebook user, whoever you are. Great to have you here behind the veil in the Facebook group. If you're out there tuning in this morning, give us a shout out in the chat. Say a quick hello. Always nice to hear from you as we get the morning going. Morning, Brad, Luke. Morning, mate. How are you? Good to see you. Do the quick intros while things are warming up. Jason Witten's my name. Most of you know that, though, so that's good news. But if you don't, if you're new, welcome. Fabulous to have you here. This is a little place where we get together in the morning, a little digital place, a little Wealth Coffee Chats. Talk about the world of property investing, folks, and what it takes to go the distance. It does take a bit of effort. It does take some concentration. It does take some patience and a little bit of constant checking in to go the distance in this thing we call property investing, ladies and gents. It's sometimes a little confusing, sometimes a little boring, sometimes a little too exciting. You name it, it can be a bit of all of it. But what we do each morning, we just check in, make sure we stay on track, heading towards where we want to be as property investors. Lee, there you are. Good to see you, mate. Thanks for dropping by. Another Facebook user behind the veil. And Jeff, good morning to you. Fabulous to have you here, folks. Well, this morning I thought we might talk about a couple of these crazy numbers, and maybe we'll take a little poll in the chat as we roll along. But what do you guys think? Let's have a quick conversation about these numbers. Do you know what would be your best guess, folks? What would be your best guess on these numbers here? 45.2%. That's a particularly accurate number. A 40-year low, 27 million, 18 years early. What do you think those numbers represent? To us as property investors, understanding some statistics and some bits and pieces is pretty important when it comes to, you know, understanding how we, how and when and why we're investing. The idea that timing the market can be important, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But time in is probably the most important thing. At the end of the day, a combination of the both of them can be pretty good. Now, Brad's onto it. I think Brad's got one. We've got Jeff's had a crack at it. Jeff, immigration up, vacancy rate low, and population. Well, you've got a couple of them there, Jeff. Brad's got on number three is population. Yep. What do you guys reckon? Two housing supply, Brad. Yep, onto it. I think I might have done one or two things on these ones before putting this together. Morning, Cole. So, and what about the first one? Does anyone know what the first one is? Anyway, let's reverse engineer these. Yes, 100%. 18 years early, the Australian population has reached 27 million 18 years earlier than predicted, or the government had planned for. Well, I don't know about you, but if something reaches 18 years early, wouldn't you pay attention to that? Anyway, that's probably not my conversation today. We shall see. But the population, 27 million 18 years early. And unless you've been living under a rock, the marketplace is feeling it, right? The marketplace is feeling it, and the rewards for those who have real estate are coming and have been here for a couple of years and going to continue to come. And for those who don't, unfortunately, might be left behind or starting to struggle, all right? That's maybe one of the – this one here, I'll give you a bit of a tip. This one is about something that's going on out there in the world of different properties. Morning, Alison. How are you, mate? Good to see you. Jeff's giving a crack. Sounds close to rent increases, Cascott, last night. Yeah, you might be right. Yep. Luke, 40-year low housing starts. Yes, 40-year low. House builds, 40-year low. Our population is 27 million, 18 years early. We've got a 40-year low in construction for houses. Well, you know, what's going on? For most Aussies, a house might be out of reach now, even now, or into the future. Certainly first home buyers, right, folks? Used to be the idea that first home buyers would go buy an inexpensive house somewhere or whatever it might be. Oh, happy days, Alison. Alison's got a pay rise. Yep, your property's doing the work for you, Alison. Good to see you. Morning, Fritz. So we've got population, we've got house build, and the top one is the gap. It's a gap between houses versus units, folks. And it's now the largest gap. It's a record gap across the nation's capitals. In some capitals, it's worse than others. 45% gap between houses versus units, median price. Now, that's going to change pretty soon because there's something going on in the property investment world or the property construction world that is going to be a bit weird, folks. It's going to be a bit weird. These three things are going to drive some, you know, some changes and many others as well. Many of them are leading to things like vacancy rates, rents going up. These two at the bottom here are certainly leading towards those numbers, like Alison there getting her rents up. Well, there's heaps of people here and there's no supply. So people have got to live somewhere. There's students flooding in as well, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what's this gap up the top here going to drive? Well, some interesting information. Sam talked about this last night. I don't know if you can see that very well. Maybe I'll post it into the Facebook group a bit later on, folks. But, you know, house prices extrapolated out. You know, it's 2004 now, so we've got 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. A 3.5-4 year rolling process of extrapolating the house pricing, the housing prices, and the apartment prices, folks, have got some people talking. And this is an interesting one. Even if this is 50% right, there's still a lot of ability for people to gain some wealth in a very short period of time. The cycles in Australia in the last sort of 20, 30 years are, you know, quite sharp, but, you know, they chug along. These last few, or this last one just with COVID, driven by a certain thing, which was low interest rate cycle. And now this next one, which is driven by the lack of supply, is pretty interesting out there. So, you know, have a look at this. You know, Sydney, you know, 1.3 to 1.9 million. So, you know, call it, you know, a $600,000 possible windfall in house price increase. Even if that was, folks, even if that was half that, even if that was half of the predicted future, and Oxford Economics have been pretty good with this stuff, you know, so we like them. We check out a bunch of cross references when it comes to data and momentum. You know, Melbourne, again, in here, you know, close to 300K, you know, Brizzy, 300K, you know, and you know, let's have a look at pretty well, you know, Adelaide's got 200K there, Perth, 300, Hobart, 150, Canberra, I don't know, 150, and Darwin. Darwin's got sort of 250 there. Interesting, right? What drives this stuff, the ability for people to pay more in the world of house prices? Folks, put it in the chat. What drives the ability for someone to pay more, to pay between $150,000 and $600,000 more? All right, what's going to drive it, team? Put this in the chat. There's two things that are going to drive this. Now, well, they're a mechanism of enablement. I don't know. I'm trying to sort of not give away the answer. the underlying market factors, which is low supply, you know, costs going up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all kind of pushing the values anyway as we go. But there's two things that are going to drive this pricing here, right? So one thing is that wages are on the increase, all right? Wages are on the increase. Now, that's been driven by all sorts of stuff. Yes, scarcity is going to help the underlying thing, but I was trying to ask the question without giving it away. You know, basically, the ability for someone to service more and pay more, all right, is going to be facilitated by two things. Like this is just the gist of, you know, writing, you know, over 10,000 loans over the last 21 years, me and my team, we've done 10,000 loans. When someone's wages go up, and what else goes down? What else goes down? So with wages are on the rise, which is great. Everyone's getting a pay rise. Everyone's got to navigate that because the cost of living's so high, et cetera, et cetera. But what else? Boom, lower interest rates. So the wages go up, so you get more dollars, and interest rates go down. Interest rates go down, and the gap widens here for the ability for people to pay more, folks. So already we have, you know, scarcity, low supply, you know, low vacancy rates, huge population, lots of competition, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But what's happening? What are people being held back with, you know, at the end of the day? And there's only two things. When people's wages go up and interest rates go down, and when's that going to occur, folks? Listen, this is why Oxford Economics is saying, hey, listen, I reckon over the next 3 to 4 years, this and this is going to occur. Now, the rate, interest rate cut, how do they come up with these numbers? How does that number there, what's that, 600,000? What's the mechanism of 1.9? Anyway, let's call it 20%. Okay, let's call it a 20% increase. Might be a bit more than that. 1.9, 600, 30%. 30% increase. Let's call Sydney a 30% increase and the rest of them close enough to 30. How does it go up 30%, right? How does the ability for someone to pay 30% more for real estate, ladies and gents? Well, when the interest rates go from, let's call it 7%, right? Let's just call it 7%. What does the interest rate have to fall? By, let's call it 30%. How far does it have to fall? Well, the cut that they're talking about is a full 2% at this point in time. 2%, maybe even 3%, folks. So when you think about the mechanism of this sort of change, this is how, you know, in broad terms, these statistical models are way more complicated than I'm trying to make it here. But, you know, the mechanism is, well, they've got now 30% more saving in interest. And, well, even in times where there's supply, most people will pay the most they can. They pay the most they can when they're shopping for real estate. They don't go, oh, you know, I can afford something for $2 million. So you know what? I'll buy something for $1 million. That is very rare. That's not human behavior, folks. So human behavior is, that's right, boom, Tim, all over it. The buffer rate falls and the borrowing capacity goes up. The whole thing, mechanisms like that, right? So hopefully that makes sense. What I'm saying, team, is that this is not sort of pie in the sky. These are not out of my bum type of numbers and like, oh, wow, look at this. These are real mechanisms of when the rates fall and the wages go up, that's what someone could pay. And considering the lack of supply and the booming population, there's a lot of people around who are going to pay for it, right? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen, team. Now, the average Aussie, there is something floating around right now in the marketplace, which is a buyer. There's a specific buyer, and it's the largest group. It's the largest transfer of wealth ever in human history coming in this next 10 years, folks. Now, what a lot of people don't understand is this stuff, right? But in Australia, this is the largest transfer of wealth ever in Australia's history and across the Western world, folks. Who are they? Who's going to be transferring their wealth, folks? And what's transferring their wealth mean? Put that in the chat for me. Inheritance generation, dead right. So there's two things that are going to happen. There's probably over about a 15-year period, there's going to be the, oh, it's already happening. It's already started right now. The downsizer does not need finance or interest rate insensitive baby boomer. Okay, downsizer, right sizer. They are paying cash, folks. They're waltzing into town. We do this up in Brisbane. We see it like all day, every day. The residential sales team up there with Owen and Brennan and the team, they're getting baby boomers waltz in and go, there's 3 million. I just sold my house in Sydney for 6 or 7. I'm downsizing. I'm paying cash for that 3-bedroom apartment because I want it, right? That's happening. It's happening in a lot of places, folks. Now, it's going to continue to happen for the next 10 or 15 years. We've got a rubbish supply. We've got a 40-year shortage. We've got interest rates going to go down. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong, right? Now, this is quite unique. This is the first time I've experienced this market like this in 21 years of investing. There's always something going on. But the interesting thing, the gap between house prices and apartment prices is one to have a look at, right? Because here, if you look at the median unit price, there is still a very affordable market in some apartment markets right now. Now, Sam and the team have been putting together some deals that are super affordable. And because those apartments are from 2 and 3 years ago, construction prices and median pricing then. Now, the challenge is construction, the cost of constructing a house and an apartment has increased significantly, folks, over the last little bit. And these prices, again, are driven by another mechanism, right? Which is the increase in the cost to construct, right? So we've got two mechanisms. The release of money from a serviceability and borrowing capacity. And the other mechanism is the cost to construct. A brand new property launching today, all right, or being forward planned for construction and completion, let's say, launching today and being complete in 2 years, many of them are 30% or more expensive than these properties 1 to 2 years ago. Brand new, okay? That's the reality of where we are. Governments being absolute muppets when it comes to the approval process, you know, imposing more taxes on developers. You know, I was saying the other day, down in Melbourne, you know, $180,000 worth of the cost of a damn apartment in Melbourne is government charges. Absolute scumbags, right? You know, they're not doing anything anyway. And then they get the damn property on rates and stuff for the rest of its life. Anyway, don't get me started there. So those mechanisms, 30% decrease and increase in borrowing power, 30% cost construction. These numbers, like I'm making a call. I actually think those numbers or those some of those spots, certainly some of the key hotspots that we know about. Yeah, exactly, Luke. Yeah. And Luke, what was the per square meter rate that was pretty sharp, you know, 2 years ago, right? It was 7,000 a square meter. Now it's 10,000 a square meter or more, some even 15, some 20,000 a square meter, folks. Anyway, there you go. I think some of these numbers are actually a bit low. Like I'm telling you right now, I think the apartment world, I think the house world is going to tap out. I think the houses are going to tap out, folks, because the wage is going to hold it back a little bit. Wages are going to hold it back a little bit. I don't think the houses will grow as much. But here's my call. My call is that the apartment market will pop and shine, okay? But anyway, there you go. Certainly, you know, if you, Sam's launched two projects of recent times where the square meter rate is 7,000 and 8,000 a square meter, right? Brand new, amazing properties, which are priced from 2 years ago. There's inbuilt 30% in those properties. And the difference has to narrow, Luke. Historically, that difference, folks, was floating between 20 and 30%, the difference between house and apartment prices. That's historically, if you have a look. Anyway, there you go. Lots going on. Hopefully that makes sense. Some things to think about. Certainly in the world of affordability, there's a drive right now, a growth from the affordable end of town. So if you get hold of, you know, a combination of quality and affordability, really well priced and good quality, I think that's going to be the magic mix that'll get your equity rolling and growing pretty fast in the next little bit. Anyway, there you go. There's so much more to talk about, but I haven't got time. But join me tomorrow, folks, for another one. We'll do it again. Actually, we won't tomorrow because tomorrow is going to be hosted by Cass from one of the from the Six Star team. He's going to take care of you tomorrow, talking all about how to maximize your rents. So make sure you dial in for that one make it happen. Now, listen, today sometime, if you haven't already received some communication, the emails and text message are going to come out about the property summit at the middle of the year. Make sure you book your tickets. There's already been a heap booked already, so don't miss out. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. Keep an eye out for that. Anyway, there you go. Done and dusted. Thanks, team. Good to see you. Awesome to hang out. Join Cass tomorrow. Till then, folks, take care. Bye for now.